Praise the Lord. How many of you are thankful that you are hidden in Him through Jesus Christ? Because we are hidden in Him through the Lord Jesus Christ, the provision that God has made us for salvation, for forgiveness, for eternal life, for hope, for peace, for joy. You keep on filling in the blank. We could do this for hours, right? If you have your Bibles, we're going to talk this morning, and we're going to do a three-part series approaching Christmas, and we're going to talk this morning about the prophecies of Christmas. Or we could call it the prophecies surrounding Christmas. Or we could call it Christmas foretold. Or we could call it whatever. But what we're going to do is we're going to look at the prophecies in Scripture that led up to the birth of Jesus Christ. In the next few weeks, we're going to talk about some other things in regard. But before we do those things, we've got to talk about the fact that outside of Bethlehem on that night that Jesus was born, and newsflash for all of you, it wasn't December 25th. Okay, so just don't get hung up on that. But there was a day that He was born outside of Bethlehem. He was born in a manger, just as Scripture said, and He was born exactly to the people that God ordained for Him to be born to, the exact way that God said He was going to be born. So, when we talk about this, let's not get caught up in all the stuff that doesn't matter, but let's get caught up in all the stuff that does. And so as we look at this and we begin to talk about the prophecies of Christmas, I'm going to mess you up, and I know Christmas is supposed to start at the first part of Luke, right? Because it started there the whole time you've ever looked at the Bible concerning Christmas. What we're going to do is we're going to fast forward to Luke chapter 24 in your Bible. I know. You say Luke chapter 24, if you're a theologian here and you studied a little bit, you know this, that Jesus has already been resurrected. Right? So Jesus has already been born. Man, why are you doing this to us? Right? We want to hear about the fact that there was a census that was going on in Bethlehem, and they came for the census, and there was no room in the inn. You're not going to tell us that? No, you already know that. Right? And it's not bad to tell it again, but I'm not going to do that this morning. I'm going to tell you something you hadn't seen, maybe, I hope. But Luke chapter 24, as we look at this, this blew me away, because this is not where I was going for Christmas, Luke chapter 24. Right? But watch what's said here, and this blows me away, and I hope it blows you away. It blew the apostles away as they heard it. Verse 13 of chapter 24, as we look at the prophecies of Christmas, watch this. Verse 13 of chapter 24, it says this. Now understand, Jesus has already been resurrected. Look at chapter 24, the first few verses tell us about that. But here we go. Watch this. Verse 13, now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they were talking with each other about everything that had happened. I guess they were, right? The one who they had followed for the last 3.5 years had been murdered on a cross in their eyes. They didn't quite understand it, though he led them to hear about it a little, but it hadn't all made sense to them yet, I promise you, because we're going to see. Aren't you glad that Jesus makes sense of the things that need to make sense? Watch what happens. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. You know what they were doing, right? Can you believe? It's like the Lord said, Peter denied Him. Right? They were talking about all those things. Can you believe that they really imprisoned Him? And He didn't do anything wrong. What's our fate now? They're coming after us, man. Watch this. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened, and as they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus Himself, very important, Jesus Himself came up and walked along with them. Now, think about this. If they're humans, what they were doing, they were griping about the situation. I can't believe this is happening to us. Right? And the next thing you know, Jesus is walking alongside them. Hey, guys. So they're walking along, and they're just talking about all the things that had happened, all the injustice that was before their eyes, and out pops Jesus. So as they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus Himself came up and walked along with them. But they were kept from recognizing Him. Right now. They will in a minute. He asked them, what are you discussing together as you walk along? I love Jesus' sarcasm. How many of you know Jesus already knew what they were discussing? Huh? Right? He did. He already knew what they were discussing. In fact, that's probably why He hit the scene. So He's walking alongside them. They're discussing things, probably fearing for their life because they were remembering things. And Jesus said, they're going to put us in jail, they're going to kill us, all kinds of troubles are coming on us. He goes on, He says, what are you guys talking about? What are you discussing? They stood still, their faces downcast. That tells me there they were talking about stuff, whining about things they probably shouldn't have been talking about, whining about. They're probably blaming each other. Right? Isn't that what we do in the church when things don't go our way? Hello? We blame someone else, right? It's his fault. Well, if Peter would have, man, if he would have just, that guy, he's a loser. He asked him that. And they put their face down. They were kind of upset that they got caught. They got busted, didn't they? They don't yet know who they got busted by. One of them, named Cleopas, he says this, "Are you only a visitor to Jerusalem and do not know the things that have happened there in the last past days?" And he goes on, he says, "What things?" he asked. "What things?" Y'all might not find that funny, but I find that funny. Jesus knew and was jacking with them. That's why I love sarcasm, because the Lord was sarcastic sometimes. "What things?" "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people, the chief priests and our rulers." See, this is what they were talking about. They were talking about injustice. Here's the thing. Christians, stop talking about injustice and just walk with the Savior. You're not going to change a thing. Watch this. They handed him over to be sentenced to death and they crucified him. But we had hope that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. He said, man, he's let us down. That's what they said. They're saying it to Jesus and they don't know it's Jesus. And they're saying, this guy let us down. How many of you know that's not true, even if it might seem like it? Watch this. "And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us." Because you know they were talking about them crazy women that had already been to the tomb and saw Jesus wasn't there. Those crazy women. Huh? They were doubting, weren't they? Don't look at them all pious. You would too. Watch this. "They went to the tomb early this morning but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive." Now understand the tone of this whole conversation. Don't miss it. They didn't say Jesus was the Messiah. They said we were hoping he was, and he pretty much let us down. And then our goofy women go to the tomb, and he's not there. And then they come back with some cockamamie story about how the angel told them this. So when we see it in its context, it's like it would have been if we would have been there. So we keep on reading. "Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the woman had said, but him they did not see." They said, "We sent some men," and now it makes a little bit more sense. Huh? It's what they said. So we heard the women. We said, "Nah, this ain't gonna cut it. Hey guys, y'all go check this out." He said to them, "How foolish you are." Now, if they weren't missing the point, he wouldn't have rebuked them. Let me tell you something. Jesus rebukes them right here. "How foolish you are. How foolish you are and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken." Right? What is he doing here? "You silly fellows. You believe that mess?" Watch this. "Did not the Christ have to suffer these things and then enter his glory?" Uh-oh. Now they're going to perk up. They're going to, you just called him the Christ. We were just saying we were hoping he was that guy. You just referred to him as that guy. Didn't he? Because he is that guy. He said, and I promise you this is going to get back to Christmas. I know you're doubting me right now. He said to them, "How foolish you are, how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Christ have to suffer these things and then enter his glory?" Watch what he says. "And beginning with Moses and all the prophets," here's what this man who at the time they didn't know who he was, it says this, "And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself." He's about to make it make sense to these guys. Watch what happens. "As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus acted as if he were going farther, but they urged him strongly, 'Stay with us, for it is nearly evening. The day is almost over.' So he went in to stay with them. And when he was at the table with them, he broke bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were open and they recognized him." What happened? Jesus said, "I'm going to go on about my business today." "No, come with us.
Come with us. You're revealing things to us that we need to hear right now in our life. Come with us. And he sat down at the table. Now pay attention. The last time they were with Jesus, what did he do? He broke bread with them. They saw his hands, and as he tore the bread and gave thanks, they recognized it. You know what happened, right? One of them said, "You see those scars on his hand? Mm-hmm. You think it's him? He just told us stuff nobody else ever told us about and made sense, like nobody else ever made me sense. Watch this." He was there, verse 31, then their eyes were opened and they recognized him and he disappeared from their sight. Watch this. They asked each other, were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and he opened the scriptures to us? Were not our hearts burning? They recognized, man, he spoke with the authority of Christ about the Word of God. He told us. What did they say? Everything since Moses all the way through the prophets of who he was, who he is, and who he always will be. And so what I want to do today, I want to, just as these apostles left there with a burning heart of knowing he is, not we were hoping he was, he is the Messiah. He is the Christ. He is the one who was foretold through all the prophets and all the scriptures of the past. And he showed us that. And there is a fire inside of us because of that. Not, oh good, Christmas, great, stockings, trees, and a dude in a red suit. But I want you to leave here today, approaching this Christmas season, to leave here today with a burning fire in hearing the scripture and knowing that Jesus Christ is who he said he is. So we're going to look at 22 some odd scripture references. 21 now, because we already went to Luke. I know, hard to do right in today's time where we don't use a whole lot of Bible in church, but not here. We're going to look at the prophetic messages concerning Christ. Let's look at this. This is going to be, for some of you, very educational. I pray for some of you it's very, very powerful. I pray that you leave here with a different mindset, that this is no game. This is not about us or our American ideology of Christmas and Christianity, but this is about Christ, the prophetic birth of Christ being fulfilled outside of Bethlehem in Judea. So we have our Bibles. Let's look together. Let's first talk about the place of Christ's birth. The place of Christ's birth. We could ask all of you. We could go down into our children's ministry today and say, where was Jesus born? Bethlehem. Right? How many of you know that? Bethlehem. Did you know this? That 680 to 700 and some odd years prior to, in that frame, prior to Jesus being born in Bethlehem, one of the prophets said it was going to happen. Now let me clue you in on something. Did you know Jesus wasn't the only one born that night? Did you know that? That'd be like saying I was the only one born on June 13th, 1976. I was not the only one born on June 13th, 1976. I'm the favorite one. Right? I am definitely my favorite one that was born on, because I'm here. Right? I don't mean that arrogantly, but I don't know anybody else. Yeah, I do. Who has the same birthday as me in here? Somebody does. Chad's got the same. That's it. Chad, he's definitely more important than me, so I take that back. So I'm the second most important guy who was born on June 13th, 1976. But the thing is, I'm not foolish enough to think I was the only one born on June 13th, 1976, and neither was Jesus the only one born when he was born, and he probably wasn't the only one born in Bethlehem that night. But I promise you this. He was the only one who was born in Bethlehem that night that the prophet Micah, if you have your Bible, I want you to turn to the foretelling of the birth of Christ, the place of his birth, Micah chapter 5. Micah chapter 5. I know how this works, right? This is when you get nervous. You're like, Micah, I don't know where Micah is. Watch this. I'm going to help you. Watch this, Bible students. This is cool. Okay, because I don't mind showing you this. It'll change your life forever. Watch this. Go to this thing. The very front of your Bible. Okay? Look, watch this. It's crazy. Watch this. The people who are looking at you all pious next to you, they don't know where it is either. They have those little tabs and they cheat. Okay? So here's the thing. Look, find Micah. I'll tell you right now, Micah's on page 850.
in my Bible. Your Bible's going to be different. Turn to Micah. It's not going to be on 850. I don't mind you using the table of contents to learn the Word of God. That's why God put it there. Y'all are already in a panic. Micah? We've never even heard of Micah. He's a few chapters over from Obadiah. You know a lot about him. Micah chapter 5. And it's pretty funny, we refer to these guys as minor prophets. I really don't know why they're minor. This guy basically prophesies the birthplace of Jesus Christ. That's not minor to me. Pretty significant, but watch what he says. Chapter 5, verse 1. Everybody there? I hope I'm in the right place. Yeah, here we go. Marshal your troops, O city of troops, for a siege is laid against us. They will strike Israel's ruler, on the cheek with a rod. Understand what that is? That's prophetic. How many of you know? They struck Jesus. But it was just a strike to the cheek. It wasn't a fatal blow, even though they thought it was a fatal blow. But watch what he says here. He's going to prophesy. But you, Bethlehem, Ephrath, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from of old, from ancient times. Ooh, who are they talking about? They're talking about Jesus. So Micah probably 700 B.C. says Jesus is going to be, or the Savior. He didn't even know his name was Jesus at the time because that came later. He knew that a Savior whose origins are from ancient times, meaning he always has been. He says that Savior will come from Bethlehem. Now, here's the thing. He prophesies about that. He says, here's what's going to happen. Now we get to your Christmas stuff that you love. Look in Luke chapter 2. This is awesome. Luke chapter 2. I'm going to help you. Matthew, Mark, Luke. Verse 4. You ready? So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth into Judea to Bethlehem. Whoa, check it out. The town of David, because he belonged to the house of the line of David. That's going to come back to be important in just a minute. And he went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born. Isn't that a coincidence? It just so happened that while they were there, he was born in Bethlehem. No, he was born in Bethlehem because the prophet Micah said 700 years before Christ, he was going to be born in Bethlehem. Watch this. And people missed it. That's why when Jesus was walking with his disciples in Luke chapter 24, they had missed it. In fact, they didn't even recognize the fact that they were standing there talking to Jesus. They missed it because we're prone to miss things. Don't miss this. Jesus being born in Bethlehem is not a coincidence. Jesus was born in Bethlehem because the sovereign hand of God said he's going to be born in Bethlehem. And I'm going to put that word in my prophet 700 years before it happens so that when it does happen, those who are meant to see it will see it. And as those men walked along the road, Jesus said, hey, I got something that was meant for you to see. Guess what? You remember how Micah talked about how the Messiah was born in Bethlehem? Hey, guess what, guys? That's where I was born. He was revealing those things to them. And their heart burned within them. Can you imagine? My heart burns within me just to look at it right here. And their heart burned within them. Matthew chapter 2. Flip over there. Any of you guys in a hurry? We're going to look at a bunch today. Matthew chapter 2, verse 5. Here we go again, just in case you didn't believe Luke. In Bethlehem in Judea, they replied, for this is what the prophet has written. You know why? Because Matthew wrote this after these things had been revealed to him. He says, this is what the prophet had written by you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people, Israel. Sounds just like Micah, doesn't it? That's because he's quoting Micah. What, man, these guys were on fire. Why? Because Jesus said, hey, look at the word of God and see that I am who that I say that I am. I'm the one that Micah told you about 700 years ago that your fathers have been telling you about and your grandfathers told you about. We see the birth of Jesus, the place of his birth, foretold. It was Bethlehem. We see the place of his birth fulfilled. It was Bethlehem. Both Luke and Matthew agree that this was the place of Jesus' birth. Watch this. Not only do Luke and Matthew believe that, history
believes that. History believes that. You go to Bethlehem today, and I'll tell you this, it's not controlled by the Jewish people, it's controlled by the Palestinians. They don't even like us being over there. But they will not deny the fact, because they can make good money out of it, they will not deny the fact that that is the birthplace of who we call our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. They don't see Him as the Messiah as we do. Why? It hasn't been revealed to them. There's no fire burning in them like there is in us. So as we look at this, understand, the place of Christ's birth was Bethlehem because God saw that it was going to be Bethlehem. And His prophets told us of that. Now let's check this out. Not just the place of His birth. How about the path of Christ's birth. Let me just tell you this. The path of Christ's birth was miraculous. Can we all agree on that? But let's see how miraculous this is. Genesis chapter 3, as we see that He was, first of all, in regard to the path of His birth, born of a woman. Why is that important? Huh? Why is it important that He was born of a woman? Thank you, sir. He doesn't see many men producing because it had to be that way. And it had to be that way, not because that was God's design for humanity, though it was. It had to be that way because of the prophecy that goes all the way back to Genesis. What did they say? They said this. All the way from Moses to the prophets, He told them everything. He told them how those prophecies were fulfilled. Watch this. Moses wrote Genesis. So understand this. When Moses was writing this, it was inspired by the Holy Spirit to write this. Look what he writes in Genesis chapter 3. Way, way, way back during the fall or right after the fall of man, 3:15, he says, is anybody interested in this stuff or am I the only weirdo? I'm the only weirdo. I know that. Genesis 3:15. He says, talking about the serpent, Satan, he says this, and I will put enmity between you and the woman and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head, meaning He will destroy you, and you will strike His heel, meaning this, you'll try, but you won't succeed. So you say, what in the world is that talking about? He is talking about this. Watch this. And I will put enmity between you and the woman. Why? The woman was deceived. And here's what happened. In that deception, how many of you remember back in the garden? Satan came and he went to the weaker vessel. He said, here's the thing. I'm not going to stand for this. Because out of this species, the woman, he says, will come one that will crush your head. Oh, this is not going to go unnoticed. This is not going to go unpunished. Let me tell you something. That was a prophecy that we know this. We know was fulfilled. Go back to Matthew in your Bibles. Matthew chapter 1. I told you you're going to be flipping a lot. And if you want to write these things down, write them down. Go back and look at them later. If you just want to listen, that's okay too. I like to flip. Check it out. Matthew chapter 1. We see, don't go to Matthew chapter 1. That's next. Go to Galatians chapter 4. That'll even throw you a bigger curve. Y'all know how to get to Galatians by now, right? Huh? Find Corinthians and go eat popcorn. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, right? I'm way back over in Numbers. I better speed up. Y'all ready? Galatians chapter 4. The Apostle Paul says this. He says, but when the time had fully come, God sent His Son, born of a woman. Born of a woman. Why is that significant? Because way back in Genesis, God prophesied. And He prophesied to Satan. And He said, Satan, here's how this is going to work. There is going to be a woman. That word offspring there, which is pretty cool, and I won't spend a whole lot of time right here, but He said her offspring. Watch what He says. Her seed. How many of you took biology? Huh? How many took biology? How many of you are smart enough in biology to know that woman does not have seed? They have egg. So what God was saying way back in Genesis is, I'm going to put My seed into a woman. And though you try to crush him, you're only going to strike his heel, a non-fatal blow, but he's going to crush your head. Oh, how glorious is that? That way back in Genesis, the path of Christ's birth, the fact that he would be born of a woman, was foretold and then fulfilled for us according to the Apostle Paul, according to the accounts of Jesus' birth and the prediction of that birth. But watch this. Not only was the path that he would be born of a woman, she would be a virgin. He was born of a woman and born of a virgin. Now, liberals, any liberals here today? Let me tell you this, you're not going to admit it. That's not talking about a maiden like the liberals want to suggest. He would have just called her a woman. It's not talking about a young maiden or a young lady. It is talking about someone who has never had sexual relations. Everybody understand that? We all know what that means. We've known that since junior high school, right? When we learned about it. Here's the thing. As we look at this, understand, it was prophesied that Jesus would be born of a woman, but not just any old woman, a virgin woman. You say, well, come on, man. How did they know that? I don't know, but look at Isaiah chapter 7. Isaiah, big book. Let's look at it. Y'all flipping? You're scrolling on your cool electronic device. I don't care how you get there, just get there. Isaiah 7:14. Watch this. Therefore, the Lord Himself will give you a sign. Wait a second. This is almost as if Isaiah was watching it on TV or reading about it in a book and repeating it. God was revealing this to him several hundred years before Christ. Watch this. Therefore, the Lord Himself will give you a sign, a miracle. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel, which we know this, and he says later on, that means God with us. The birth of Jesus being born of a virgin foretold in Isaiah 7, verse 14. Flip over to Matthew chapter 1 again. I took you there a minute ago by error, but we're going to camp there for a second now. Matthew chapter 1. But Pastor, we're cramping up because we've never used our Bible this much. Look at 1:22. We've seen the virgin birth of Jesus foretold. Let's see if that was fulfilled, right? This is a fun game, isn't it? They said it. Let's see if it happened. Watch this. What could be behind door number 2? Look. Verse 22 of chapter 1 in Matthew. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. Which prophet? Isaiah. All this. All what? Well, let's read the stuff above it. Verse 18, this is how the birth of Jesus came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. But before they came together, let me just help you out. That came together, that's not engagement. Everybody understand? That's consummating their marriage vows. You use your imagination. Before they came together, before they became one in the eyes of God. Watch what it says. Before they came together, she was found to be with child through who? The Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. Wow. They were betrothed to be married and they had not had sexual relations, and all of a sudden she was pregnant. I imagine I'd probably be thinking about doing the same thing, huh? But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will be with the child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. Whoa, how amazing. Does that set you on fire? Let me tell you, in Luke 24, when they're walking along and Jesus is just casually talking to him, he said, and not only was the place of my birth foretold, Bethlehem. See, I proved it. Micah said it, right? Now look, you realize that's me. But not only that, just like Scripture said, I was born of a woman all the way back in Genesis. And Jesus told him, here's what was said back in Genesis. Here's what Moses recorded. I'm that guy. Oh, he hit me in the heel, but look, I'm alive. I'm out of the grave. Not only that, She was not just a woman, she was a virgin, just as the prophet foretold she was a virgin, and it was fulfilled. It was fulfilled, just like Matthew recorded the fulfilling of the virgin birth of Jesus. So he says the path is the fact that she would be born of a woman. The prophet said the path was that he would be born of a virgin. And the path also was that he would be born of God. Look at this. Isaiah, the same place that we were. Go back, 7:14, because I want you to memorize this. I want you to know what this says. Isaiah, look at it again. Isaiah 7:14. Does this stuff fire anybody up? I mean, I don't want to be the cheerleader up here, but it fires me up. 7:14, check this out, because I'm not following some dude who claimed to be the Savior. I'm following the King of Kings and Lord of Lords who revealed to the world that He truly is the Son of God, the Savior of the world. 7:14 again. Therefore the Lord Himself will give you a sign. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and we'll call Him Emmanuel, God with us. Galatians tells us that He was born of a woman and born of God. Matthew, again, when we flip over there, we see the fulfillment of that. Just as the Lord desired to reveal that there was a virgin birth, He desired to reveal the fact that not only was there a virgin birth, but that virgin was attached to the Holy Spirit who implanted, watch this, the seed of God inside of her, a woman who had never had sexual relations. Watch this, that's impossible. That's impossible. But yet God said it is possible, because he's not going to be born through her like most people are born through a woman. He is going to be born in a miraculous way, because He will be my seed, not the seed of sinful man. How amazing is that? How amazing is that? Because guess what? Guess what happens? If He would have been the seed of any other man, He would have been sinful. Did you know that? Every one of you received your sin nature from the seed of your father. It was passed down all the way since Adam. But not Jesus Christ. He was born from the seed of a woman who was hand-selected, who was a virgin, who had in her the seed of God. Praise and glory to Him. I wish somebody get lit up. The path of Christ's birth, born of a woman, born of a virgin, born of God, the place of Christ's birth, we know it's Bethlehem, but we know a little more now, don't we? And then look at this, and I'll let you go. For those of you who don't like all this Bible, are bored already. The people of Christ's birth. The people of Christ's birth. Did you know this? The lineage of Christ was promised long before Christ was ever on this earth. And it's interesting to me how God made it happen. Did you know this? There was a people of Christ's birth. Number one, He was going to be born a Jew from the line of Abraham. Why? Oh, right? Do we have to ask this now? Because the prophet said so. Because it was foretold. Watch, I'll show you where it was foretold. You ready? Go back to Genesis, if you want to. Because Jesus, when He was talking to those guys in Luke chapter 24, said this, what? From Moses all the way through. Said He told us everything regarding Him. Everything that made Him who He really is. Genesis chapter 12. Y'all there? Somebody says no. Verse 3. I will bless those who bless you. This is a promise. This is Abram's call. Before there was ever a Jew, God's making a promise to Abram. There was a plan that involved Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Watch this. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on the earth will be blessed through you. Now, you say, well, that by itself doesn't say a whole lot. Look at chapter 17 of the same book. And we'll see what that really means. 17:7. He's saying again to Abram, I will establish my covenant as an everlasting covenant between me and you and your descendants after you for the generations to come, to be your God and the God of your descendants after you. Let me tell you something. Jesus Christ, being the eternal God who put on skin and became man, was the same eternal God who promised Abram before he was ever Abraham, that there would be many descendants come from him. Guess what? In Christ, we are a part of those many descendants. Look at Galatians. When we see this fulfilled, the Apostle Paul is going to clear it up for us. Because you look at this and you go, okay, maybe it could be talking about Jesus, or maybe not. Watch this. Galatians. You ready? Go back to Galatians chapter 3 as we look at Jesus coming from the line of Abraham. Galatians chapter 3. Do we have to look at so much? Only if you want to learn. I'll tell you right now, if you don't want to learn, close it up. Be ignorant. That's your choice. Right? You know those disciples that day in Luke chapter 24 when Jesus said, well, I'm going to go on back this way. You know, they could have said, okay, see ya. I love that he put it in there. Jesus was messing with them. And he said, guys, I'm going to go back this way just to see if they really, really wanted it. Do they really want more? Do they really want to know? I'll ask you that. Do you really want to know? Keep following along. Galatians 3:16. You thought there was only one 3:16 in the Bible. There's more than that. Galatians 3:16. Y'all ready? He says this. I'll get there in a second. The promises were spoken to Abraham and to his seed. The scripture does not say, and to seeds, meaning many people, but and to your seed. Watch this. Meaning, he's referencing back when he was talking to Abram. Meaning, one person who is, y'all say it with me, Christ. So they put two and two together after it was revealed to them that the seed of Abraham, not the many seeds. Why? Because Jesus didn't say he was gonna, God didn't say he was going to defeat Satan through the seeds of a woman. He said through the seed of a woman. So it's all connected. Isn't it funny how all the scripture makes sense in light of all the scripture? Right? I didn't read this in a commentary. I looked at the commentary. He said, the reason he said seed, because it's one seed who is, do it again, the Christ. Man, I don't light you up. Your wood is definitely wet. They left from Jesus saying, no, man, did not we burn inside when he told us these things? He said, it was prophesied like that. Because if he would have said seeds, it wouldn't have been like that. But he said one. We know that that seed was the seed of God planted into the Virgin Mary to bring forth the Son of God. Matthew chapter 1. Look over there. If you don't believe it was the line of Abraham, I'll prove it to you again. Watch this. Whew, I'm having fun this morning. We see that the line of Abraham was foretold. We see that it was fulfilled by Galatians' account when Paul says it, but also Matthew. Watch this. These are all the things you don't read in the Bible, right? You go, man, I get to them, beget this and beget that and was born of or whatever translation you read. I mean, that gets boring. How boring is this? A record of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David. Uh-oh, the son of Abraham. Abraham was the father of Isaac. Isaac, the father of Jacob. Jacob, the father of Judah, his brothers. Judah, the father of Perez and Zerah, whose mother was Tamar. Perez, the father of Hezron. Hezron, the father of Ram. Ram, the father of Amminadab. Amminadab, the father of Nahshon. Nahshon, the father of Salmon. Salmon, the father of Boaz, whose mother was Rahab. Go ahead and research that. Boaz, the father of Obed, whose mother was Ruth. Obed, the father of Jesse. And Jesse, the father of King David. And David was the father of Solomon, whose mother had been Uriah's wife. Solomon, the father of Rehoboam. Rehoboam, the father of Abijah. Abijah, the father of Asa. Asa, the father of Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat, the father of Jehoram. Jehoram, the father of Uzziah. Uzziah, the father of Jotham. Jotham, the father of Ahaz. Ahaz, the father of Hezekiah. Hezekiah, the father of Manasseh. Manasseh, the father of Amon. Amon, the father of Josiah. And Josiah, the father of Jekoah and his brothers at the time of the exile to Babylon. And after the exile to Babylon, Jeconiah was the father of Shealtiel. Shealtiel, the father of Zerubbabel. There we go. Zerubbabel, the father of, here gets fun. Abiud, the father of Eliakim. Eliakim, the father of Azor. Azor, the father of Zadok. Zadok, I like that one. Zadok, the father of Akim. Akim, the father of
Elihu, Eliud, Eliud, the father of Eleazar, Eleazar, the father of Nathan, Nathan, the father of Jacob, and Jacob, the father of Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born, who is called the Christ. Wow. Why would you not read that? Why would you not read? Because you can't pronounce those names. Don't pronounce them. Just know their real names. Okay? Why would you not read that? Because what it does, it confirms what the prophet said, that from the seed of Abraham would come the Christ. And he traced it all the way. So here's the thing. Why is that so important? Because God said it was going to happen that way. He said, but wait a second. How can he be of the seed of Abraham and the seed of God? Because Abraham was a real man. And Abraham literally had intercourse with these people, and they had intercourse with these people. Did you see how it worked out? That part of his genealogy came through Joseph. The seed of God was planted in, say it with me, Mary. And so it's all fulfilled in the same Jesus. Wow, that's a double stamp, isn't it? So here's the thing. Why would you not read that? The birth of Jesus Christ coming from the line of Abraham foretold in Genesis, fulfilled in Galatians, and fulfilled in Matthew. He's from the line of Abraham. Guess what? So am I. Now that I've been reborn in Christ. So we read on. The line of Abraham, the people of Christ's birth. He was from the line of Abraham. Oh man, you guys have got to listen, Pastor. He was from the line of Abraham. He was also from the tribe of Judah. Why? Because I'll tell you why. Genesis 49, verse 10. Flip over there. Genesis 49, verse 10. How many of you know that the Israelites were divided into 12 different tribes? How many of you know that there was only one that Jesus could have come through? You know that? If he would have come from anyone, watch this. If he would have come from anyone other than the tribe of Judah, guess what? When he was talking in Luke 24, he was talking to those guys, and he said, you know what? I'm going to let you know something. I descend all the way back to the tribe of Benjamin. They would have said, hoax. That's not true, because we know that the Messiah was going to come through the line of Judah. Why? Because watch this. Here's what's said in Genesis so long ago. They knew this. Genesis 49. You there? I'm not. 49. You ready? Verse 10. Let's read it together. Did you already read it? It's like a spoiler. The scepter. What scepter? The royal scepter. The scepter of God, His kingdom, His lineage. The scepter will not depart from Judah, nor the ruler's staff from between His feet until He comes to whom it belongs, and the obedience of the nations is His. Whoa, way back in Genesis. He said that the scepter is never going to depart from Judah. Why? Why is that? Let's look why. Because it was foretold that it was going to be that way. Let's see if it was fulfilled. Anybody want to take me out on that dare? Let's do it. You've challenged me. Hebrews chapter 7. That's over in the New Testament again. If you haven't noticed, we're going Old Testament prophecy, New Testament fulfillment. That's why we take the full counsel of the Word of God and we determine what we truly believe based on the whole thing, not just on the part we like. Hebrews chapter 7. Verse 14. I like this word. He says this. For it is clear. There's no debate. For it is clear that our Lord descended from Judah, and in regard to that tribe, Moses said nothing about the priest. He said, it is true. He's talking about Melchizedek right here, and you can go read it, and it's some interesting stuff, but I don't have time to tell you about all that. But he does say this in that verse, that it is very clear that the Messiah came from Judah. Now watch this. Fast forward with me, if you would. Y'all ready to do that? You're going to flip again. Go to Revelation chapter 5. Oh, when we see that eternal scepter continuing to reign forever, 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 because why? Watch this. Then one of the elders, this is in heaven, in case you didn't know that. Then one of the elders in heaven said to me, do not weep. See the lion of the tribe of Gad. Nah, that's not what they said. See, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has triumphed. He is able. He's triumphed over what? Everything. Why? Because God said that scepter will never be removed. He will be an everlasting ruler. Praise and glory to the Lion of the tribe of Judah. That ought to get you on fire. Why? Because we saw it way back in Genesis, and God hadn't stopped fulfilling the things concerning Christ. And let me tell you, if it's His desire today to save you in Christ, today is the day that that will be fulfilled personally for you. And man, that sets a fire inside of me. So as we look at this, He's from the line of Abraham. He's from the line of the tribe of Judah. Watch this. We're not done. Oh, I know you wish we were. The root of Jesse. What are you talking about? Go back to Isaiah, our friend there in the Old Testament. Isaiah chapter 11. Way before Jesus, 700 plus years. Verse 1. A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From his roots, a branch will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and of understanding, the Spirit of counsel and of power, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. And he will delight in the fear of the Lord, and he will not judge by what he sees with his eyes or decide by what he hears with his ears, but with righteousness he will judge the needy. With justice he will give decision for the poor on the earth. He will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth. Go back and read in Revelation, the day is coming. The day is coming when the sword pours forth from the mouth of the Lord, slaying his enemies. As with the breath of his lips, he will slay the wicked. Righteousness will be his belt and faithfulness the sash around his waist. The wolf will live with the lamb. The leopard will lie down with the goat. The calf and the lion and the yearling together, and a little child will lead them. The cow will feed with the bear. Their young will lie down together, and the lion will eat straw like the ox. The infant will play near the hole of the cobra, and the young child put his hand into the viper's nest. We hadn't seen like peace like that ever, have we? They will neither harm nor destroy on all my holy mountain, for the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Watch this, verse 10. Don't skip this one. In that day, the root of Jesse will stand as a banner for the peoples. The nations will rally around him, and his place of rest will be glorious. In that day, the Lord will reach out his hand a second time to reclaim the remnant that is left of his people from, he lists a bunch of places, glory and honor to the root of Jesse, the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, well, what does that mean? That means that Jesus came from the root of Jesse, just like Isaiah said. Go ahead and prove it to us. Okay, here we go. Matthew chapter 1, verse 6, we already read it. We'll read it again. What did he say? When you go talk to your friends after lunch, you go to other churches and they say, well, what scripture did your preacher preach from today? Just say a bunch of them. Now you tell them Luke chapter 24. And in Luke chapter 24, he saw how the apostles burned and he wanted to know why they burned. And he went to looking, and that's what happened. And he caught on fire too. The root of Jesse, Matthew chapter 1, verse 6. He says it to us. I just want to prove it to you. That you don't believe me. And Jesse, the father of King David. The end. He's in the genealogy of Christ and stuff you didn't want to read. Right there, we see a prophecy unfolded before our very eyes. Boom, shakalaka, Jesus is the root of Jesse. He came from him. Why is that important? Why is it important that we look at these genealogies? Did you notice in 70 AD something took place? You know what took place? Jerusalem was destroyed. Along with it, watch this. All of the real accurate records of genealogy. Jesus, before that happened, pay attention, on the road to Emmaus, told these guys who were walking along belly aching about what the truth was, and it was written in their heart, and they passed this down to us. How accurate is that? It came directly from Jesus. You don't believe me? Go read about the conquest of Jerusalem. Everything was destroyed just like Jesus said it was going to be. But his genealogy lives on because he unfolded for them the truth. He is the root of Jesse. One more. Can I do one more? The people of Christ's birth, the line of Abraham, the tribe of Judah, the root of Jesse, the descendant of King David. The descendant of King David. Look at this. We're gonna do some Jeremiah. We haven't done any Jeremiah today. Go to Jeremiah. Jeremiah, another prophet of God, says this, Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 5. The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will raise up to David a righteous branch, a king who will reign wisely and do what is just and right in the land. In his days, Judah will be saved and Israel will live in safety. This is the name by which he will be called. Watch this. The Lord our righteousness. The Lord our righteousness. What is he saying? Well, he's saying this to me. When he says this, when he talks to me and I look at this, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I'll raise up to David a righteous branch, a king who will reign wisely and do what is just and right in the land. And in his days, Judah will be saved and Israel will live in safety. Guess what? He's talking to me there. Why? Because the promises of God are yes and amen in Christ. I have been engrafted through Jesus Christ into the promises of Israel. You know what he's saying? He's saying this. Jesus will come and he will fulfill the prophecy that was concerning him in the line of David, and he will fulfill that by giving those who are in him safety. That's why we use the word salvation. Did you know that's what that means? Safety. Well, I'm thankful that I will be saved because of the righteous one, the Lord, our righteousness. You say, well, I see Jeremiah said something about it. Can you show me where that's fulfilled? Yeah, I can show you. We'll go back to Matthew right where we were a second ago. Because Jesse was David's father. So if he came from Jesse, he also came from David, just like the Word of God said. Isaiah also spoke of it. Did you know that? Or do you even care? Isaiah, how do you not care about this stuff if you're a believer? Isaiah chapter 9. I know, you wish you were at a church that was talking about how to handle the stress of Christmas. Don't let it stress you out. Get excited. Get fired up. Because Jesus is who He said He is. Isaiah 9, 6 through 7. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign, watch this, not on anybody else's throne. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on, watch this, and forever. So we look at this and you say, Kurt, man, you get pretty excited about this stuff. I can't help but get excited about it. Why? Because Jesus, the one who I love, and the one who I follow, the one who I've surrendered my whole life to, is the exact one that the prophet said would come and be born in a manger outside of Bethlehem. Oh, that'll change your Christmas story, won't it? He's the exact one. And as I look at His Word, just as He revealed His Word to those guys in Luke chapter 24, He's doing the same thing in me. And it sets me on fire. I don't have to argue with you about it. If you're here to argue with me, was Jesus truly the Son of God? You're dumber than a box of rocks. The prophets told you who He was. He proved who He was. He fulfilled everything they said. We're just talking about His birth right here. Not to mention His life. Not to mention His crucifixion. Not to mention His resurrection. Not to mention His ascension and His eternal reign. We're just talking about one element. Jesus is who He says He is. I get fired up. Also, I get fired up because Jesus is who the Scriptures say He is. Because I believe that there is absolutely positively not one single error in all of this. If you don't think that, go find another church. Because we are going to preach and we are going to teach the literal, inerrant Word of God. Just as it was inspired and just as it was written. And I believe this, in seeing Jesus Christ prophesied about thousands of years before He ever came to the earth. When I read that, and then I read the account that He was alive, and then watch this, I'll even go outside the box, and I'll read Josephus, a historian, talk about Jesus and His followers. He wasn't even a believer. He talks about the birth of Jesus. He talks about the followers of Jesus. He confirmed that there was a Jesus, and that Jesus is the Jesus of the Scripture.
that sets me on fire. Because Scripture confirms who He is. And I base everything that I believe, I base everything that I am on the Word of God, what the Word of God says and what the Word of God teaches. Jesus is the Messiah. He is the Savior of the world. He is everything that we looked at this morning regarding Him. We didn't exhaust it, I promise you. He's everything that we looked at, and even bigger than that to me, He is my personal Savior and Lord. So as we approach this time of year, we talk about Him maybe a little more than we have throughout the remainder of the year. If you sat down and ate a meal with Him today, would you recognize those nail scars? Oh, I told you this won't be a traditional message. We're starting in Luke 24. But in Luke 24, we see this. We see that these men had their hearts and their minds and their eyes opened by the Lord. And when He opened their eyes, they recognized who He truly is. Said when He broke the bread, they said, He's the Christ. What is He showing you today? Maybe your whole life, man, you've never surrendered to Jesus Christ because there's been that little bit of doubt that you have. How could somebody be born of a virgin? And how could somebody be this and somebody be that? And one guy handle all the sin of the world. And today you have had the truth unveiled to you and you see Him like you've never seen Him before. And I pray today you surrender your life to Jesus Christ, the only one and true Savior for mankind. Would you stand to your feet, every head bowed and every eye closed? Maybe you're here this morning and you're a believer. I'll say this to you. You say, oh, I know Jesus Christ, but I've never seen Him quite like that. I've never seen the importance of the foretelling, the prophecy of Jesus' birth in regard to the fact that He fulfilled it. Would you be honest this morning if you're that person and say, that's me. Here's what I pray for you. I pray that you leave here just like these guys left meeting with Jesus on fire. They said, surely were we not blazing on the inside because we see who He truly is. I pray you leave here today with a new fire in your heart if you truly know Him. But maybe you're here today and you say, Kirk, I don't truly know Jesus. And today God has revealed Him to me like it's never been revealed personally to me. And God is showing me that He is truly the Savior and He is truly the one who died for me on a cross 2,000 years ago. He is truly the one who was born of a virgin, just like you said, born of a woman, born of God, born from the line of Abraham, born from the root of Jesse, born from the line of David, the kingdom of David, a descendant of righteousness for all mankind from the tribe of Judah, just as the Word of God proclaimed. You say, I see Him today as the one true Lord and Savior, and I'm in need of Him because I am a sinner, and I need to turn from my life of sin, and I need to turn to the risen Savior as the only hope that I have for sin. If you're here today and you say, Kirk, that's me. If that describes you, I want to pray for you. Pray for you. I'm going to ask you to do something. Just raise your hand in the air so that I can see you, so that we can talk one-on-one. You say, that's me, Pastor. I need to surrender my life to Jesus. Raise it up high where I can see You. Thank You, sir. You keep that up for me. Keep that up for me. Someone else who says, that's me. I need Jesus to save me this morning. Raise it high where I can see You. Anyone else? Every head bowed, every eye closed. Sir, I want you to look at me right now, one-on-one. You believe right now that the Holy Spirit of God is telling you to leave your life of sin and to turn to the one and true Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. You believe that beyond the shadow of a doubt. Listen, the Bible tells us this, that we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and we believe in our heart that God raised Him from the dead and we shall be saved. You desire to save you today. Are you willing to confess Him as your Lord and Savior before all these people this morning? To turn from your life of sin and to turn to Him and Him alone. I want you to pray this with me. Let me tell you something. This prayer won't save a single person. This prayer won't save you. Prayers don't save people. Jesus came to save you. This prayer is being obedient to the Word of God that says to confess with your mouth. You're willing to do that in front of all these people today. Public confession. Jesus as your Savior. I want you to pray this with me to Him. I'm going to help you through it. Then I'm going to ask you to come forward. Somebody's going to take the Word of God and they're going to show you what just happened in your life. Are you willing to do that? To turn from your sin and turn to Him. Pray this prayer out loud with me. Dear Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. And I know that I need You to save me. It's not because of the words that Kirk said today. But I feel your Spirit drawing me out of darkness and out of sin into your forgiveness, into your life. Jesus, I turn from my sin and I turn to you and to you alone as the only Savior who died on a cross and rose 3 days later to give me new life. I surrender to that new life. I surrender to you as my only Lord and as my only Savior. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for dying for me. Fill me with your Spirit. Teach me to live this life. Sir, if you meant business with the Lord, I'm going to ask you to do something. Just get out of your seat right now before the music even starts playing. There's going to be someone right here. He's going to meet you halfway. He's going to take the Word of God. He's going to show you what just happened if you truly repented of your sin and you truly trusted Jesus as your Savior. What that means for you in the future. It's the greatest day of your life. I assure you of that. Anyone else here today say, that's me. Listen, you don't have to wait. You don't even have to raise your hand. Guess what? He's already doing the work. Just acknowledge Him by surrendering. Then make that public by confessing Him before men. It's no secret formula. The Word gives it to us. Doesn't matter what it looks like. I'm so sick and tired of people arguing over what it looks like. It looks like, Jesus, I'm a sinner and I need you and I'm turning from sin. I could be at your seat. I could be on your face. It doesn't matter. But allow the Holy Spirit to usher you into a relationship with Jesus Christ today as you feel His draw and you surrender to Him. Maybe you're here and you're a believer. You know that. Maybe we'll be honest and say, I want fire. I want fire. I want the fire of the Holy Spirit like the apostles had. Let me tell you something. That same fire lives inside of you. I double dog dare you. I double dog dare you to ask God to stir that fire in you today. Because if you're His, I promise you the Spirit will stir that fire. Whatever your need is, there's people down front to pray with you, to pray for you. But allow the Holy Spirit to have His way in your life today.
Sing that again.